These observations provoke an anxious solicitude for the present state of the church, for it would be hard to find a surplus of church leaders in the arena of such men. The common instinct for Rotarian jocularity rather than true Christian prophecy resembles the manner of Churchill's Home Secretary, Herbert Morrison, whom the Prime Minister called a curious mixture of geniality and venom. Those anointed to proclaim Christ seem not infrequently reticent about enlisting his holy name in what is no less than a spiritual warfare that cannot be won by appeasement. When our bishops were assured by President Obama that there would be no imposition of civil regulations on the church's moral standards, specifically in matters of health care, they left a meeting in the White House boasting that they had been promised a good deal. It was their Munich. It was their Neville Chamberlain moment, waving the piece of paper going, "Peace, we got peace." No, you got Obama. You're never going to have peace. As it is a nervous business for prelates to court and be courted by civil power, one might question the wisdom of popes addressing the United Nations or Parliament. Then he mentions Pope Francis' visit to Morocco, where he spoke to Congress and never once mentioned J.C., never once mentioned asceticism, never once mentioned a canonized saint. Instead, he larded down his only chance to speak to Congress with a bunch of sugar sweet gumdrop, Abraham Lincoln, social justice warrior garbage, as is his wont, W-O-N-T. Father Rutler concludes, "The resources of the church in the material order are vast, if fading, but her supernatural resources are beyond calculation." I was asked to speak to the Monroe County, Michigan Pro-Life Committee back in October of 2015, days before my last day at the old station in the old country. The point of my talk, and by the way, I was never invited to another pro-life group ever again, and I probably never will be. And I'm going to tell you why. I didn't wear my skinny jeans that night. Title of my talk was, if you pro-lifers, if you really want to win this battle, then you've chosen the wrong allies. You surrender the high ground that you had, and that we still have today, to the political class. You put all your eggs in the basket of the Republican Party, which is a earth-based entity, when in fact you had the power and the authority of the papacy. You had the power, unbelievable, unfathomable power of the Mother of God and the Rosary. You had the power of having the pulpits. You had the power of having the press, and you have the power of 40 million allegedly faithful. That's enough and would have been enough to end it. Now, again, making it illegal will not bring the murdering of the innocent to an end because we're fallen men. However, it will bring to an end the legal protection, and as a result, tens of millions of souls will make it into the world, and they will ultimately, many of them, be baptized. God's got a smile upon hearing that news. But no, let's line up with presidents and senators and congressmen. Yeah, they'll get the job done. Did they? No, they did not. And they're not going to get the job done. And they might even take it out on you. Don't worry about that. Remember, you can't the good guys on your side. The movies are wrong. The devils do not have an advantage. The Creator, God, has the advantage. Now, Father Rutler concludes. Now, again, this is related to what's going on and what happened in Parkland, Florida. What, unfortunately, is going to happen again. There's no mechanism other than divine intervention out there to stop another kid from going nutbag and mowing down his fellow classmates in a school. It's going to happen again, unfortunately. We pray that it doesn't, but it's going to happen again. What's missing from America, from life, are fathers. Again, they're missing from our houses, they're missing from our pulpits, and they're missing from Vaticans. We got to pray for an end to that, but we got to do our part too, gentlemen, which is why I always call on the men. I know the women are already there. Women are already backing us up. Guys, you got to do this, and you can do it. Now, continuing. An indicting finger points to the neglect of such treasures as of talent and grace and lands of privilege, as, for example, in the mercenary hypertrophy of the church in Germany. This affects all limbs of the body of Christ. Where there are bishops of moral vigor, there will be an abundance of young men willing to take up the call of priestly service. Ladies, why, when your grandmas were little cheering girls, why were they so fancified by stories of knights in shining armors? Knights on white horses. Always knights, though, or princes who were knights. Why? They were chivalrous, right? They were virtuous, right? What else were they? They were brave. They were courageous. They didn't cower around in the back in skinny jeans. They went out and fought wars for women and children, not with women and children. Women, biologically, are drawn to men who aren't skinny jean wearing losers. Women that are drawn to men that are skinny jean wearing losers are what are known in popular circles, as, I'm going to say it in context here, I don't mean to offend anyone, fag hags. Don't be a fag hag. Father Rutler concludes. We make, listen to this, as C.S. Lewis gave account, quote, "We make men without chests and expect from them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst," close quote. In his Idea of a University, Cardinal Newman wrote, quote, "Neither Livy, nor Tacitus, nor Terence, nor Seneca, nor Pliny, nor Quintilian is an adequate spokesman for the imperial city. They write Latin, Cicero writes Roman." Close quote. Church needs a Roman vigor that persuades men to rise above self-consciousness. Father Rutler is calling on you, gentlemen. He's calling on me. I'm saying, yeah, I'm all in, Padre. What do you want me to do? Church needs a Roman vigor that persuades men to rise above self-consciousness. An English bishop reflected, quote, "Wherever St. Paul went, there was a riot. Wherever I go, they serve tea." Close quote. In spiritual combat, there is no tea time. And effective strategies cannot be plotted at conferences, synods, workshops, and costly conventions at resort hotels with multiple breakout sessions and mellow music.